This morning we're going to continue through Romans. And we're going to read Titus 2, 12, first scripture we're going to read today. This teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. I know we sung about that today. And I know we're, as the body of Christ, we're separated and to live differently than the world. And I know as we're going to read in Romans, Paul's going to address that, just how the body of Christ ought to live. And so, if you know Christ as your Savior, not only has He delivered you from hell, but He has delivered you from ungodliness, from the sinful world. We don't have to be partakers of what happens in this world. We don't have to become like the world. And but it's so easily to fall into that trap. And so often as believers, we walk in the flesh. I mean, we know that is true. That is why living this life by our own efforts and not depend on the Holy Spirit, we walk in the flesh. So Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what is it to walk in the Spirit? Because, I mean, that would be the next question, because some of you would go, well, how do I walk in the Spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's to live a life guided by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because we know the Holy Spirit lives within you, which involves surrendering your will to God's will, obeying His commands, applying His word, yielding to the Holy Spirit's promptings. You don't always hear a voice, but you get this check. You know, the Holy Spirit guides you through His scriptures. He illuminates scriptures. He kind of gives you this thought that comes to your mind. We know that if we're going to go and sin, something rises up in us and says, don't be doing that. Right? That's being led by the Spirit. It's like He's leading and guiding you. And I think too often we put off those things. So, well, it's just, I just want to feel good. Sin feels good. Well, there's a consequence of sin. And also the practice of to live a Spirit-filled life is practicing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, rather than the desires of the flesh. Because your flesh doesn't want anything to do with the Lord. Contrary to what the word, right? So we know when we operate in the flesh, because it's easy to operate in the flesh. And this lifestyle of dependence on the Holy Spirit is actively seeking His presence, guidance through prayer, and the reading of God's word, leading to a life of holiness and righteousness as we surrender to Him. And say, Lord, here I am today. Sounds fairly easy, isn't it? So in Romans 13, verse 10 to 14, we're going to read. Because love does no harm to any neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I know we said before last week, the debt of love. We can't ever pay, we owe love. We ought to be praying for our enemies. Praying for the lost, to have a love that can never, the debt of love. And do this knowing that the time, So knowing the time is perceiving the time. Do we perceive the time that we live in? Do we see what's happening around us? Do we see how things are happening and how ungodliness is happening more and more so? And so the one thing is, do we get depressed? Or do we get excited? When I see what's happening around this, what's happening, how innocent people, believers, Christianity is one of the highest persecuted faiths in the world. I know Charlie, or the gentleman who got shot this week. Yeah. What about all the other people who are persecuted around the world? He was just one figure. And look at all what happened. I'm not going to neglect. He had a good platform. He spoke, stood up for the truth. But what about all the other people in the world who are believers in Christ who are being persecuted daily for their faith? They don't get the attention that he gets. Let's not forget about our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted even right now for their faith. And to be praying for them. Right? It's a wake-up call for the church to say, you know what? I am willing to stand up for the truth. He stood up for the truth. He never backed down. He never watered down his convictions. He never watered down the faith. Just like people who are being persecuted. They never backed down. So as believers, we have a choice. Am I going to stand for what is right? Even though people are going to come against me, people are going to call me bad words, they're going to label me a certain way, but do I want to stand up for what is right and holy? There's a cost. Am I going to choose today to stand for what is right? Am I going to choose to stand for what is holy? Am I going to be putting off things of this world that are dragging me down this trail away from the Lord so that I do not listen to his voice? There's a choice today for believers. Am I choosing to stand for what is right? Am I choosing? Because I'm knowing the time. The Bible speaks of in the last days, things will get worse. And that's why he calls us a salt and light. We should be excited because, like, Lord, I'm going to trust you today. Were you excited when you wake up this morning? Or are you like, I'm going to hit snooze one more time? How many times did you hit the snooze button today? I know 3 times for me today. It was 5-minute snooze intervals. But knowing, do I hit the snooze button? Do I hit the snooze button with my walk with the Lord? Not yet, Lord. I'm just hit the snooze a little bit longer. I'm not ready. But perceiving the time, do we perceive the time? That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. He's talking to the believer. Not to the unbelievers. He's talking to the church. He's saying, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. I believe the church is asleep. And we see what's happening in this world, how God is using it, what's happening, even with Charlie Kirk, whatever, how have people rose up. But are we going to take that one? Are we going to say, you know what? It's high time that we wake up to stand up for what is true, what is right, what is holy? Or am I going to hit the snooze button again and fall asleep and be complacent, be absent in this world? What are we going to do? It's a choice. And God uses all things, right, for his glory, for those who love him. How do we want to be known as believers? How do I want to be known by friends and family? somebody that was faithful to the Lord, who loved the Lord, who desired to do what he has asked me to do, and to share the truth of the gospel, to be living out my faith, to be that light and salt in this world, and not to compromise the word of God? How do my children see me? So awake out of your sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. You know the salvation there? You know Jesus, Yeshua means salvation. It's talking about Jesus appearing. Not your salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He's coming soon. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It's talking, well, look, I'll go through it. But it's not talking, the day of the Lord is coming soon. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry or drunkenness. I know in the NIV, it talks about orgies and drunkenness. Sexual, this is talk, the next one we're talking about, sexual sins. That's even in the church. As in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Because the flesh loves all that stuff. It loves it. But put on Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And so, knowing the time, wake out of the sleep. NIV says the slumber. Paul is speaking to the believers who are spiritually asleep, lethargic. You know, you ever get lazy? Never get lazy. Right? I think we get complacent, non-aggressive, in a way to stand up for what is true. We say, you know what? I'm just going to let somebody else do it. I'm going to stand on the sideline and just cheer for them. But does the Lord ask us to be cheerleaders? I'm afraid he doesn't. He asks us to be his warriors, his soldiers. So as a warrior and a soldier for Christ, we put off our old clothes. And we put on the armor of God. Think as Ephesians 6, it talks about pull on the full armor of God. It's like when you are a civilian to a soldier, you put on the full armor of God. Ready for battle. Prepared. As we read the word of God, he prepares us. He quickens us. He helps us to stand up for what is true. So sometimes when we're asleep, we're unresponsive. We're in a daze. We're not engaged, become passive. There's empathy, we gotta get really lazy, don't we? And we see the effects of the church being lazy as a whole. You turn a blind eye. So do we hear what the Spirit is saying to us today? We hear, I think of in Revelation, it talks about how Jesus confronted the churches. In five churches, he said, you know, repent. Turn away from this. Do you hear the Lord even maybe today saying, repent of your laziness? You're being lethargic, being passive, uninvolved. It's easy to be uninvolved because it's easy because we get so busy with everyday life and not really wanting to be a part of the community. Think of what happens if believers would get on boards, in town council, the school boards, part of the government, being mentors in the schools, helping the community, being that salt and light. That's a great ministry. But what happens is I can't. But it's like, Lord, do you want me to do that? Open the door for me to do that. So be engaged in the community, sharing the truth of the gospel to the people within this community, or the community that we all have a voice. We all like to talk. Ryan, I can never be in people quiet. You know, Paul says, wake up from your sleep. It's a spiritual sleep. It's not a physical sleep, it's a spiritual sleep. Do you know that we're in a spiritual battle right now? There's a battle for your mind. There is. How is your headspace? You know, there's a battle against the believers of Christ. Satan wants the believers to sleep at the wheel. Put the vehicle on cruise control. Put our faith on cruise and sit back and just go with the flow. Rather than facing the demonic things. Praying against the principalities that are operating in this world. There are principalities. There are demonic things happening even in Black Falls. There are witches in this town that are very prayerful against every believer, praying against you. That should not scare us. Because greater is he that's in you. He's the one who shows you how to pray. He teaches you how to pray. As we get on our knees, he shows us how to pray against those spirits, those demonic things that try to bring harm to you. Prayer is so important to the believer, is to wake up. If prayer is not in our lives, then we're at sleep. We're behind the wheel sleeping. Prayer needs to be first in our lives. Reading the scriptures, knowing the scriptures, applying the scriptures, so that we become awake and alive and alert to what's happening around our world, in our communities that we're at. Satan wants us to be carnal, lovers of ourself, not to be obedient, not to have our eyes on the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Who does that? The believer. So whatever thoughts are coming into your mind, you say, Lord, I'm going to take captive this thought right now in Jesus' name. That I will not meditate on her or whatever is against God. So this thought of whatever, I'm going to take captive that thought right now and make it obedient to the word of God. I'm not going to play with this thought. I am not going to entertain this thought. I am going to say, Lord, remove this thought from my mind. I want to make it obedient to you and to your word. Think of the things that we see every day. And how does that affect you? Think of the movies that you watch, TV programs that you watch. How do they affect you? Even newscasts, how do they affect you? Right? What's coming into your mind? What are you watching? So many, I have to turn off the TV, especially newscasts, that I love I love current events, but I know there's a limit. Because sometimes I get so bitter and resentful rather than prayerful. So Romans 12:2 says, and do this, and do not conform to this world. Not to conform to this world. Not to be like this world. We see that within the body of Christ. We see things coming into the church that is conforming to the world, because we don't want people to not like us. So we conform. We water down the word of God. We compromise the word of God rather than stand up for what is right. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Spending time in the word, renewing your mind. The Holy Spirit renewing, taking the garbage out. Putting off the old flesh. Putting on the new nature. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So then, now I know what the will of God is. Renewing my mind. Transforming my mind. So that I will know the will of God. There's bestsellers out there. What's the will of God for you? Oh, the Bible has it for you. Your salvation is near now. When he talks about salvation is near now, he's talking about Jesus' return, his appearing, is sooner than the first day that we believed. We don't know the moment or the hour, but are we ready? If Jesus would appear today, would I be ready? Would he have found me faithful in what he's asked us to do? We don't always. We might once in a while, but he asks us to be faithful daily in what he's asked us to do, not to get complacent. That's where the falling asleep at. We get complacent, we fall asleep, we get lazy, we put it off, I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe next week now. You know, Mark 13, it says, you know, no one knows the day or the hour. Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. And in verse 37, it says, Jesus says, I tell all, he's telling all of us to watch. Mark 13, 37 says, watch. Know the time and the seasons. They'll all of discourse. He's telling his disciples, watch what is happening so that you're not caught off guard. What we see happening should not shock us, but we should be like, yes, the Lord has warned us. He's preparing us not to get fearful or run away, put our heads in the sand, but be ready for him. Be watchful. What we see today, it should be exciting us because the Lord's appearing is sooner than yesterday was. What is happening in this world, he's preparing us so that we become more prayerful and praying for the lost. You know, salvation has three tenses. The past, as a believer, I have been saved in Christ through justification. So he's not talking about justification, salvation there. It's God's grace that we're saved. Present tense of salvation is being saved. Sanctification process. The ongoing process until he takes us home. Day in and day out, the Holy Spirit is revealing things in our lives that we need to put off and to put on. The ongoing thing. That's process of salvation. And so we become more mature in the faith through prayer and meditation and listening to God's voice. That's how sanctification works. being guided by the Holy Spirit, allowing little tribulations. I won't say big tribulations because we won't be here. But little tribulations, difficulties in life. What do little difficulties in life do for us? They prune us. They reveal things in our own lives. Maybe where we're not following the Lord or trusting Him in that area. He allows those things to happen to see where we're at. So we realize, maybe I'm not following you, Lord. And the future glorification comes when this happens. 1 Corinthians 15, 50, 52 says, "And now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not all sleep, but shall be changed." And changed into what? "In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise, will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We get a glorified body. And this is our future salvation. That we don't have to worry about sin. We don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about crying or pain or suffering, anything. But we get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and always be with Him. So our salvation is near. Jesus appearing is sooner than later. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope." Are we looking for the blessed hope? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Am I eyes fixed on the Lord? Or am I fixed on what's happening in this world? It's good to see what's happening in this world so we know how to pray. But is my hope still on my Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." He will descend with a shout, and that's the trumpet. Going back to what 1 Corinthians 15 says, so it's God, his shout, right? "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will in Christ will rise first. Then who are alive will remain shall be caught up together." Snatched up. Caught up is like that's being caught up, the rapture. "Then with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." So we don't know the day, the hour when the Lord's appearing. It could happen at any moment. It could happen, I don't know. But is my eyes fixed on the Lord? That's what he's saying, wake up. Knowing that your salvation is near. That we know that the appearing of Christ and the church be caught up is nearer than what we were first to believe. Verse 12 says, "The night is far spent." The Jewish day began at sunset. That's when the biblical day was started. It's at sunset. So the sun went down, it got darker, and the darkest time is before dawn. Most dark time is before dawn. So the world is getting darker. It's getting worse. It's getting closer to the dawn, which is the millennium kingdom, when Christ appears, when Jesus comes back on his second coming. Because you think about the tribulation. How dark is that? Pretty dark. Think of the demonic more so than what's happening even now. The last days will be more demonic activity. We are hearing more of it happening around us. Satan wants to deceive people to pretend that he is an angel of light, perform miracles. You know Satan can perform miracles? That's scary. And why is that? Can he deceive many? And to have people believe that he doesn't exist. If you do a poll in the church, how many people would say Satan doesn't exist? You'd be amazed. I'm not saying this church, but if you ask in a poll in the body of Christ, a lot of people, believers, say Satan doesn't exist. How is that possible? He does exist. He's willing to do whatever he is to distract you to trust the Lord and to follow him. He wants to keep you from being the salt and light in this dark world. The Lord wants us to be serious about our salvation and share the gospel. I'm going to read back to Romans 12. It says, I'm going to read that again. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in rivalry or drunkenness, but not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Verse 13 tells us specifically to take off soiled clothes. Talking about putting off sin. Sexual sin. He's telling us in this verse is to take off the soiled clothing. To take off your sin. To die to that sin. If you have a dirty shirt, take it off. If you have a dirty blouse, take it off. Replace it with the robe of righteousness. Put it on Christ. If we have whatever the sin is that we are playing with, put it off today. Paul is saying that we should be clean. Remove these sins. Repent. Throw off the old nature. Resist the flesh, resist the devil. Put off what binds you up. Sin binds you up. It has a hold on that person so they cannot walk in the freedom that Christ provides. That's why he's saying these sexual sins is more the problem he speaks of. But in this scripture that we're reading, he's just identifying these ones. So put them off. Don't play with them. Don't walk in the darkness. You're a child of light. Satan loves to tempt. Temptation is not a sin. But he will put thoughts in your mind. Things that we watch. We don't take those captive. We think about them, we act them out. Next thing you know, we're in it. And it's amazing how it's like, oh, it's okay. It's just this little sin. It's okay, whatever. What does it do? It brings a lot of harm. Saying, put it off. Don't be like the world. that plays with all these sexual sins. You see the alphabet group, they promote their sins. Right? They identify in their sexual sins. We're not supposed to be like that. We're a child of God. We put on Christ. We live differently. We speak differently. We think differently. It's a process. Sanctification, in my mind, is always godly. No. But I need to put off these things. To think differently. To die to my flesh. It's a daily activity. Then, Lord, I want to die to this thought. I want to die to these ways. I know in the last month, it's amazing how God, in our own lives, has transformed my thoughts. Attitudes are changing. Behaviors are changing. How? Living spirit-filled life. Dying to the flesh. Putting it off. Be careful what I watch, what I listen to. Put off those things. Watch, not watching certain movies. I might love certain movies, but I know they're not good. We justify, oh, it's a good movie. But does it glorify Christ? How does it affect me? Does it change my behavior? Does it change my language? Does it change? How does it affect me? So the first four deal with sexual sins. How many lives have been destroyed because of people's lack of restraint? Think of pornography. How, if you took, when I read stats, right, the articles, this is, pornography is high in the church. What do you do in private? Does it honor God? Think of what's happening in the church. Pornography is one of the highest things, sexual sins, in the church today. And Satan loves that. He puts those people in chains. And people don't want to speak out against it because something might be exposed. It's like, Lord, I don't want to see that anymore. Repent of it. Put blockers on it, but or whatever. It's like, Lord, blind my eyes from that garbage. You know, the next two sins, it talks about not in strife and envy. Those two sins are deals with attitude sins. I know the NIV is different, right? That's why I brought, but I'm not. I think more the NIV is the better interpretation of what's being said. Do I have attitude sins? How's my attitude today? You repent? Do a 180 to walk away from it. You know, in John 11, it says, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave, and when Lazarus came out, what did he have on? Yeah. Did Lazarus wear those for a week or two, maybe a month? No, he never did. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus spoke life to Lazarus. He who was dead is now alive. He who is alive needs to be freed. There's things in our lives that we need to be freed from. Satan will say, no, you don't. Is there iniquity in our hearts? Iniquity is, it's like, Lord, is there any iniquity in my heart? Is there a sin that I love to play with? It's like, Lord, I don't want to play with it. Lord, I want to put you on. I want to put off this grave cloth. We all need to be freed, and Jesus is the only one that can free us. But are we willing to put that off? To die to it? No, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. He sets us free from our sins. He delivered us from our trespasses because of the cross. So Jesus spoke to us. He quickens us, gives us life, and we became alive in Christ. However, there is still believers walking in grave clothes today. You might even interact with them outside of church. Do you know you could pray for them? Come alongside and encourage them? You know, a lot of times people justify going to, you know, I know we to the bars and whatever else, but what's your intent when you go to the bar? You know, if you, as even I talk about still visiting, I know in the King James it talks about the bed chamber. Are you still viewing porn? Still jealous and envious of others? I think that's the biggest one, envious and jealous of others. What I don't have, wish I had. Hear it all the time. Why can't I have this? I'm so jealous of somebody having this. Why can't we be like them? That's sin. Are we content at the time where God has us? You know, God looks at the heart of the believer. If you're looking at someone lustfully, you have committed adultery. If you hate somebody, you have committed murder in your heart. So we're all been guilty. And the Lord asks us to repent. You know, in John 8, it says that the adulterous woman was caught by her accusers. And Jesus speaks to her accusers. And they leave one by one. Jesus said to the adulterous woman, "Where are your accusers?" She replied, "They all left." Because they all had sin in their lives that they are trying to pretend they didn't. Jesus says, "I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more." Not to, he sets you free from those sins, but not supposed to go back into those sins. 1 John 3:3. Says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Purifying in Christ. Don't let sin from the past come back and creep into your life. Is there a sin that is slipping back into you? Is there a sin that you're slipping back into the Lord has set you free? Be careful who you hang with, the movies or the shows you watch. The music listened to, those sins can overtake you, your life again, bound you up. It's time to wake up and to take off those clothes. I think that's why the parents, us parents, we like, kids, who are you hanging out with today? Because we care about what's happening. In verse 14 says, we are to wake up, to cast off, and verse 14 is to put on. So put on Christ is a sense of thinking of like him. Live like him, walk like him, depend on him, and lean on him. You're saved by grace, God's grace, kept by God's grace. It's not a license to sin. Do you know there's believers who live in this world who who believe that I could have a license to sin? And do they live like the world? And I know a few people like that. It's just, okay, it's God's grace. I can do whatever I want. I have that liberty. Then there's believers who are legalistic, live by a set of rules on how to be a good person. However, a life that is spirit-filled is ruled by the Holy Spirit that takes control of your life, transforming your thoughts. As we meditate on the Word of God, convicts us of sin, guides us in the truth of God's Word. The spirit-filled believer is taking the Word of God in, meditating on it, relying on it, aligning to His will, putting on the new nature. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-8. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night, or nor of the darkness. We were once that. We used to be sons and daughters of the darkness. When you come to know Christ, now you've been made a child of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. I know Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God that we are to put on and not to take off. He gives us the weapons to stand against the scheme of the enemy, who comes against you and will come against you. Someone's excited. How is the Lord waking us up today? Do we perceive the time? He is coming back. He's appearing, we don't know when. But He's given us clues. And He's preparing us that we're supposed to be found faithful in what He's asked us to do. To share the truth of the gospel. To be in this world sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So Lord, as we close today, Lord, I pray that we will put off sin that You are speaking to us about. Lord, that we'll replace it Your righteousness, with Your holiness. Lord, that we would put on clean clothes that You have given us. Lord, thank You that You cleanse us from all sin when we confess it to You. And Lord, I pray as You awake us by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would respond to Your voice, to walk in the newness of Christ. Lord, that we would not desire to satisfy the flesh, but Lord, that we would put on the new man, to look to You and to lean on You, to trust You and depend on You more and more as the world gets darker and darker. But Lord, let us not be afraid of what's happening in this world, but to take a stand, Lord. Stand up for what is true, what is righteous, what is holy. Lord, that we would not be complacent any longer, but Lord, that we would be doers of Your word, not just hearers. Father, I pray for protection over our minds. And Lord, that we would desire to dig in to hear from you more and more every day. Lord, I do pray for your hedge of protection over us, Lord. Lord, that we would take captive thoughts that would set itself up against the knowledge of you. And Lord, make them obedient to you and to your word. Lord, forgive us at times for being procrastinators. Forgive us, Lord, for being snoozers at times. Lord, I pray that you would help us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.